Let's read together Proverbs chapter 30, verses 1 through 9. In these verses, as well as in all of chapter 30 of Proverbs, we have the sayings of Agur, or Agur, as more properly pronounced. Let's begin our study of this portion of Proverbs 30 with some background notes. Question: who is Agur, the writer of these sayings in Proverbs 30? Answer: we don't know. The only thing we know about him for sure is that he came over to America and gave a lecture at the University of California. What, you say? Well, look at the end of verse 1. Agur declared to UCal. So Proverbs 30, verse 1, is the only place in Scripture where an American university is mentioned by name. Seriously speaking, the only information we have concerning Agur is right here in Proverbs chapter 30. Now, the Jewish Talmud, without a lot of evidence, leans toward the opinion that Agur is another name for Solomon. So that, at least, is one position concerning Agur that has been held down through the years. The word in verse 1 translated utterance or prophecy or oracle can also be translated Massa, meaning the place where Agur, the son of Jaca, came from. And if so, it would make Agur a descendant of the Ishmaelite people, according to Genesis chapter 25, verses 13 and 14. And the statement that this man declared to Ithiel and to Ucal could also, in the Hebrew text, be made to say, this man said, I have wearied myself, O God, I have wearied myself, O God, and am consumed. But most likely, Ithiel and Ucal were students or friends of Agur, and Agur wanted to teach them truth that he had learned. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Proverbs chapter 30. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. Although Agur's sayings are directly addressed to Ithiel and Ucal, because this is part of the Word of God, they are addressed to us as well. Verses 2 and 3. Surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Now, Agur is not saying here that he has a low IQ, or that he is like an animal and can't think as a man. No. Rather, this is a statement of humility. As we see in verse 3, Agur acknowledges that by human searching alone, you cannot attain wisdom and the knowledge of God, no matter how smart you are. Verse 3, once again, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. What a contrast to many people today, who in their pride think they know everything and make confident statements that God doesn't even exist. They will surely change their minds in the future. Verse 4. Here in verse 4, Agur presents the greatness and majesty of God by stating a few questions. Verse 4, once again, follow the questions. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? The point of these questions is that because God is so powerful and sovereign and majestic, no human being can fully understand God. Now, in his last question, when Agur asked, what is his name and what is his son's name? Agur is not thinking of the Trinity here and the pre-incarnate second person of the Godhead. No, Agur is emphasizing that no one can comprehend God fully because God has not imparted his nature or attributes to any descendant. However, the way the Holy Spirit inspired Agur to write this question certainly paves the way for the later revelation of Scripture and the wonderful truth about Christ as the eternal Son of God. and the truth that we can come to know God through Christ and be brought into the family of God as sons of God. Verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Now these two verses 5 and 6, are both about Scripture, God's special revelation. Let's read them again, and you can see how they both refer to Scripture, the revealed word of God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to God's words, lest he rebuke you, and you be found a liar. In verse 4, the subject was nature, God's general revelation to man. And now here in verses 5 and 6, we have truth presented concerning the Bible, the Word of God, God's special revelation to man. In verse 5, we have the truth of the infallibility of God's Word. That is, the Bible is true and without error. Every word of God is pure. This is the miracle of the Bible. Even though God used human writers, and even though God had the Bible written in an historical and cultural context, he preserved it from the errors of human thinking and the errors of the culture in which it was written. It truly is a miracle. Because of this, we can come to the Bible and not only find the truth, but find protection and refuge as well, because it is God's word, backed up by God himself, as the end of verse 5 says. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Now in verse 6, we have the truth of the sufficiency of God's word. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. The word of God does not have to be added to. It is complete and sufficient as it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we have those well-known verses which say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or person of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. These verses not only teach the inspiration of all scripture, but the complete sufficiency of scripture for all that we need. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be thoroughly furnished for all good works. Because the word of God is sufficient, we are not to add to scripture or take away from scripture. And notice the warning at the end of Proverbs 30, verse 6, lest he rebuke you. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. How dare we add to the word of God? And yet there are people who do add to the Word of God. They do add to the Bible. The cults, for example, add to the Word of God. In fact, they give their own writings and traditions the same or more authority than the Bible itself. Now, the last chapter of the Bible pronounces judgment on anyone who would dare to add or take away from God's revelation, which could be extended in application to the whole Bible. I'm reading Revelation chapter 22. Verses 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. From Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. Verses 7 and 9. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. Now, in verses 7 through 9 of Proverbs 30, Agur directs a prayer to the Lord. This is the only prayer in the book of Proverbs. And in it, Agur makes two requests. Let's read the prayer and notice the two requests. Proverbs 30, beginning with verse 7. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and profane the name of my God. You see the two requests? Request number one concerns Agur's spiritual life and character. Verse 8, remove falsehood and lies far from me. It's very much like the request in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Lead me not into temptation, or may I not be led into temptation. Agur knew where he was vulnerable, and he prayed that the Lord would keep him from situations where he might be tempted to lie or deceive. We all need to pray this prayer. It doesn't take much to tarnish godly character and reputation. Request number two concerns Agur's physical life and material needs. Let's read that request. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Again, it is very much like the request of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Now notice that Agur not only prayed that he would have enough and not be tempted to steal, but he also prayed that he would not have too much wealth, which might cause him to become too independent and not be dependent on the Lord. Now let me ask you, are we willing to make that prayer request? Not all believers are willing to pray that way. They rather risk the pitfalls of being rich. Are you willing to pray a prayer like that? Lord, if I can't handle it, may it never come. Take it away. Let me be poor. So it's a good question for all of us, right? What about you? The sayings of Agur contain truth for every believer. And that brings us to our practical application for this first portion of Proverbs chapter 30. Argue like Agur. In Jude 3, believers are exhorted to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude 3. Now, Agur is a good Old Testament model for us to follow if we are going to earnestly contend for the faith. In verse 5, Proverbs 30, verse 5, we saw that Agur believed that the Word of God was infallible. That is, without error. Listen, if we are going to earnestly contend for the faith, once delivered to the saints, we too must believe that Scripture is infallible. We can't contend earnestly for the faith if we believe the Bible contains human errors and mistakes. Would you agree? In verse 6, we saw that Agur believed in the sufficiency of Scripture and that the Word of God was not to be added to. Once again, if we are going to contend earnestly for the faith, we too must believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. The Word of God is complete and sufficient to meet every situation and argument of anyone. We don't have to add the wisdom of man as additional books to the Bible. No. Let's follow the model of Agur in contending for the faith. Argue like Agur.